Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar, coming to you every Thursday night from the nation's capital at BreakingBeltway.com and the iTunes Store. Last week, we got to tear into Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un a little bit. We also got to singe our lungs with David Slay's organically grown Hestia tobacco. And this week, I have a whole bunch of hot topics to discuss. It's been a very busy week for me at the Washington Times, and a lot of my stories have sparked quite the debate, one of them being this 16-year-old Canadian girl who was charged with distributing child pornography after she sent explicit photos of her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, also a minor, to a group of people in November 2012. And the case is thought to be the first in Canada where a minor has been charged for child porn in a sexting case. Now, you know, when I see a story like this, I try my best not to react emotionally without getting all of the facts straight. And my initial reaction was shock and anger. And I have to say that that hasn't changed much. Since this is the first case in Canada, I'm assuming that the country, specifically British Columbia, doesn't have any laws on sexting. This has happened many times in the United States for the same reason. A couple years ago in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, three high school girls who sent semi-nude photos to and four male students who received them were all hit with child pornography charges. And in Newark, Ohio, a 15-year-old girl faced child porn charges for sending photos of herself to other classmates. And in many cases, the charges were lessened, but prosecutors in the U.S. are still trying to charge kids for child porn, specifically in these states where they don't have specific sexting laws. And it doesn't make any sense to me. If two 16-year-olds get into a fight, does that suddenly make it child abuse? No. So why would two 16-year-olds sharing nudies be considered sharing child porn? I got a very mixed reaction on Twitter when I asked followers if Canadian prosecutors went too far with this girl. They didn't name her because she's a minor, and it's not yet known what kind of sentence she faces, but it was really a 50-50 split on people who think the punishment is appropriate and those who don't. One person said, "Stop sharing photos of nude children. It's really quite simple." And that comment just fascinated me. Here we have a teenage girl. She finds a naked photo of her boyfriend's ex, and she sends it to her friends to mock her. Now, I didn't grow up in the age of text messaging, but sharing photos on phones, you know, the technology was not there when I was in high school, but I can imagine this kind of thing would most certainly be around when I was there. We had something called slam books, and if you remember the movie Mean Girls and the book that they had in that movie where they trashed everyone in their school, we all had those, and there would always be embarrassing photos of our classmates in there. We'd share them, we'd pass them around, and other people would add stuff to it. And the only difference here is the technology. It's pretty clear that the girl sent these photos maliciously and with an intent to harm the victim. So wouldn't it be a more appropriate charge for her to face cyberbullying and then for the family to take her to civil court and sue for libel or privacy or defamation or what have you? I'm not a lawyer, and worse yet, I'm certainly not a Canadian lawyer, so I'm not really sure how it works up there, but, I mean, do we really think it's appropriate to start equating these dumb kids with real sex offenders? Is it necessary to punish a kid for the rest of their lives for a lapse in judgment that all high schoolers are guilty of, but maybe lucky enough to not get caught? I mean, if I had a nickel for everything I could have been arrested for... Crown Prosecutor Chandra Fisher, she said that this is a precedent-setting case and will hopefully serve as a deterrent. But I have a huge problem with making an example out of this girl, not to mention that no charges have even been filed against the boyfriend or the girl in the photos. I was unable to find the age of the boy. I'm assuming he's a minor as well, or he would probably face worse charges, but the ex was also a minor, and as far as I know, they're both in the clear. So the question is, at what point has a crime been committed and personal responsibility of the woman in the photo ended? She took the photo of herself. And then that photo got into the wrong hands. So why is she not partially responsible? A 2012 study found that more than a quarter of American teens engage in this kind of behavior. So, I mean, are we going to consider them all sex offenders because they're sending photos of minors? I mean, these kids are engaging in behaviors that feel and in reality are completely natural. The only difference is the technology. And many states have not tackled this issue and don't have sexting laws. So that's why we don't, that's why, you know, that's what we're going to see until they get with the program. We're going to continue to see more of these cases. For instance, in Washington State, Washington does not have a specific statute for sexting offenses and prosecutes anyone, regardless of age, for child pornography in sexting cases. And that conviction obviously would require the convicted to register as a sex offender. And the grave importance of all of this is to never diminish the purpose of child pornography laws. Child pornography laws are meant to protect children. The serious consequences of a child porn charge are so grossly disproportionate to the most common scenario of sexting between two teens. And we need to look at other alternatives for addressing this, specifically in America, obviously. Sexting, it normally entails nude selfies, and it generally occurs without that exploitative circumstance that are central to child porn cases. And I'm not arguing that this girl is innocent. This Canadian girl should definitely be prosecuted. I mean, give her a curfew, give her community service, slap her with a civil suit. But don't clog up the justice system with these kids for simply being kids. And let's try and save that space and the taxpayers' expense for the real freaks who truly deserve to be registered as sex offenders for the rest of their lives. So, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, do you think that we're headed in the right direction by charging these kids with child porn, or do you think that that we should try something different? I'd definitely be interested to hear what you have to say. Definitely check out BreakingBeltway.com. There's a comment section on there. Comment on my Facebook. I'm going to open up the forum because I think this is a really important case. And it's definitely precedent setting. So, with that, we're going to move into a musical break. This is Toots and the Mytals with Pressure Drop.
$1.3 trillion. How should we pay them back?
Ukraine is all the way over and kill everyone in China.
Kill everyone in China?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Yes.
Put a huge wall so they can't come to us.
You're saying build a wall in China? A huge, great kind of a wall?
Yeah.
That would never happen.
A huge pot. Allie, you hate it.
When you owe someone money, should you pay them back?
Never.
Well, then they won't lend you money anymore.
And that's the problem.
Should this country be forced to pay our own debts?
Yes!
Yeah, but you just said kill everyone in China a little while. What happened to that? Should we allow the Chinese to live?
Yes! But if we don't allow them to live, then they'll try to kill us.
But then they will all be killed.
They're going to be all be killed. If we tell them, they won't pay us.
Well, this has been an interesting edition of Kids Table, the Lord of the Flies edition. I'd like to thank my correspondents, Braden, Ava, Braxton, Allie. You've been wonderful.
And so apparently that Jimmy Kimmel segment, which aired in October, caused a big enough fallout for our very own White House to respond. I can't even believe I'm talking about this right now, but a petition on WeThePeople.org asked the federal government to launch an investigation into Jimmy Kimmel and remove his ABC show, which the petition compared to Nazi Germany. Apparently, there are enough idiots in this country who think the government has that kind of power, because more than 100,000 people petitioned, prompting an official response from the president. Quote, the president has stated publicly the United States welcomes the continuing peaceful rise of China. The federal government cannot force ABC to remove this show. The First Amendment of the Constitution protects free speech, even if individuals might personally find it offensive or distasteful. It may be upsetting when people say things we might personally disagree with, but the principle of protected free speech is an important part of who we are as a nation. So, obviously, this statement, it wasn't the big F you message that I was kind of hoping for, but it was a small victory for the First Amendment. Perhaps it's time to finally raise the minimum signatures on that website, because, obviously, 100,000 really isn't that many to require a White House response. I mean, really? Kimmel? I mean, kids say the darndest things. Regardless, I just, you know, hopefully this will finally put to bed Kimmelgate. I'm heading to China next month. My mom and I are going to Beijing and Shanghai, and it was a real pain in the ass, I gotta tell you, to get a visa to go over there because of where I work. I had to get all sorts of confirmation that I wasn't going over there for any kind of journalistic work. It really kind of puts into perspective just how much less free China is and the way they view media, even Chinese Americans, who made up the majority of people who protested Kimmel. It's going to certainly be a feat of strength for me to put away Breaking Beltway and Twitter and Facebook for nearly 2 weeks. I'm leaving in mid-February. I'm definitely going to miss you guys. Makes me sad. But here is a musical break. We're going to move into Johnny Cash's cover of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt, followed by Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London. You're listening to Breaking Beltway.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
You stay the hell away from me, you hear?
I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else, I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
Gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him, he'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Wow.
I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the Werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the Werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
That song. It wasn't until about 10 years ago that I realized what he was actually saying. As a kid, I always sang, "Where was the thunder?" Yeah, "Where was the thunder" is not it. Anyway, welcome back. In this segment, I'd like to talk a little about people who have just lost their damn minds. I gotta say, I used to be a lot more chill when I lived in Florida, and it wasn't until I moved to DC that things as simple as going to the grocery store turned into the most difficult of tasks. I gotta tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm on the verge of losing it as well, and grocery stores are such high anxiety areas anyway. I found myself the other day yelling at a complete stranger at CVS. I was at CVS, it was late at night. But for some reason, it was very busy, and there were a couple of guys working, and it seemed as though their main job was to facilitate the self-checkout line. So I'm standing there in line for 10 minutes, only to check myself out, and by the time I get there, I'm already pissed, the machine isn't working, no one is helping, and I just snapped. I started screaming at this one poor boy, "What are you paying? What are they paying you for? Apparently CVS just hired me!" Of course, you know, everyone's looking at me like I'm a complete lunatic. I left quickly, but some people, though, you know, some people, they do it, they let it provoke them to the point of violence. In my home state yesterday, an old man physically rammed his shopping cart into another old man who had unloaded more than 20 items into the express lane. Okay, this is at Walmart in Tampa, I believe. He was kicked out of the store, but came running back in the store with fists flying, and now the 77-year-old man faces felony battery charges. I mean, can you imagine this scene? I wish there was a video. I mean, to be a fly on that wall. 19, 20, 21, oh, you son of a bitch, you load one more thing on that conveyor belt and I'm gonna give you the what for. Oh, man. I mean, if I was 77 years old, I think I'd be screaming YOLO at every turn as well. I mean, I'd make that shopping cart into a battering ram. I was kind of confused as people cheering this guy on and promoting this kind of behavior. I mean, snapping isn't really that acceptable, especially if it's physical, but grocery stores are just the worst, and they bring the absolute worst out of people. And what is the worst is the people who rent those little hover rounds at the grocery store. I mean, homegirl literally just walked in here and rented a hover round. If you're not disabled enough to own your own hover round, what makes you disabled enough to rent one at the grocery store and ride around and block traffic? I mean, that's not called disabled, that's called lazy. I wonder what those people do at the express checkouts if they flip out like I do. Ugh, anyway, unbelievable. I've gotten a little off topic with this old man. This old man situation, it just shows that people are losing their minds in this climate. Just Monday, a former cop in Tampa. Oh my god, I just realized that both of these stories are from Florida. Definitely no surprise there. But a former cop shot and killed a guy in a movie theater this week. And his reasoning for killing this guy, police say, is because this man was texting too loudly in the movie theater. 71-year-old Curtis Reeves, a former cop, has been charged with second-degree murder after police say he shot a man and his wife. One witness said that somebody threw popcorn and then bang, the dude was shot dead. And the wife was shot in the hand from trying to block the bullet from entering her husband's chest. I mean, this is freaking disgusting. My boyfriend and I were at the movies just the other day. I mean, we went to go see Paranormal Activity, which was very good, by the way, if you like those movies. But, you know, the theater was crowded. Which means, you know, of course there's going to be noise, and yes, it's annoying, but that's when you make a conscious decision to tell the person they're bothering you. Then if they don't stop, you go and get a manager. And then if nothing is resolved, you leave. I mean, whatever happened to, you know, just getting into a good old-fashioned fist fight? I mean, this guy pulls out a .38 in a fit of anger, and this man, this husband, a father of a 3-year-old girl, whose babysitter he was texting, by the way... This man is dead. He'll never see his daughter again. This story is unbelievable. It's still ongoing, and you know, people are saying that he's going to try stand your ground laws. It's just an act of violence that's completely unwarranted. Hope it was worth it, guy. Hope you like jail rape. And may your sphincter be ever in your favor. And with that, we're going to head into a music break. And you know what? I think I'm going to play a little song for Pasco County Jail's newest cheesecake, Curtis Reeves. 71-year-old Curtis Reeves, a former cop who killed a man in cold blood. This one's for you, Curtis. This is Creedence Clearwater Revival's Back Door. Great song. That song always reminds me of The Big Lebowski. Love that movie. But I'm about to screw your whole night up because I'm about to talk about some Justin Bieber. But Justin Bieber, he's in the news again. He can't keep himself out of trouble, apparently. And why would you when you have absolutely no consequences and you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth? But this time, apparently, he's being investigated for assault and for throwing some eggs at a neighbor's house. He reportedly caused more than $200,000 in damage. It's not exactly known what started this whole altercation, but the daughter of the neighbor got it all on tape. I watched some of the video. I'm not going to play it here because it's not verified. The cops are looking at it, but you can see a bit of a scuffle, and there are people shouting back and forth. One person says, "Call the cops," and you can hear the girl saying, "Oh my God," and she sounds pretty frightened. And then you can hear another person way off in the distance that's apparently Justin Bieber, and he's verbally arguing going back and forth with a neighbor, and there's a lot of expletives flying, and you can hear him say, you can hear Justin, well, supposedly Justin, you can hear him say, I got another one for you. And since he's being accused of throwing eggs, that would make sense. So cops are definitely looking at the video. But on Tuesday, 11 cop cars, okay, 11 cop cars descended on this boy Wonder's home, and they served him with a felony search warrant, and they detained him in his garage. They were looking for any kind of evidence that could link him to the crime. I guess they were looking for egg shells, I mean, egg cartons, I don't know. They definitely looked at his security cameras, and they seized those. It's funny because during this whole raid, the police actually busted Justin's friend, Lil Za, I've never heard of this guy. He's 20 years old. He's some guy, Lil Za. I don't know if he's a rapper or whatever, but they busted him for cocaine possession. They found the coke in Justin's house, where apparently Lil Za lives as well. They live together in this place. I mean, that scares me. I mean, these two 20-year-old millionaires living alone together, it sounds to me like Lord of the Flies. And I mean, you know, according to this, it actually is Lord of the Flies, because these kids clearly have no control over themselves if they're egging neighbors' houses. I mean, Justin Bieber is constantly getting into trouble around Los Angeles. He gets kicked out of clubs constantly. He gets into fist fights. He gets kicked out of everywhere. And you know why? It's because this 19-year-old, 5 foot, 130 pound little pipsqueak, he keeps doing crap like this, and he never faces any kind of accountability for it. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, these are the kind of people who have never had a really good punch to the face, literally and figuratively. I mean, he's been charged with vandalism for graffiti in both Colombia and Brazil. And not only that, he really sucks as a neighbor. Two different neighbors, including former NFL player Keyshawn Johnson. He once complained that Bieber drives at really high speeds in their neighborhood. And a different neighbor actually claimed that Bieber spit in his face when he complained for him to slow down. So he's just completely unhinged. What is it going to take for this kid to get a reality check? I thought this one guy summed it up perfectly. Ex-NFL player Jordan Babineau, he was caught by a very obnoxious TMZ reporter. This guy drives me crazy. But Babineau's response was pretty good. Here you go.
Looks like a cool-ass neighbor, man. Justin Bieber just egged his neighbor's house.
Shut up.
$20,000 worth of damage. And
egg damage?
Egg damage. And
how old is Justin Bieber? Isn't he like 13?
His neighbor wants Justin to go to jail. Like, what would you do? Would you send Justin to jail? You think he should be arrested? Or
I'd kick his little ass. I'd give him a wedgie and throw him in the pool.
But what about arrested?
He don't need to be arrested. He just needs his ass kicked.
He just needs his ass kicked.
He don't catch whippers. That's what I mean.
All right, Jordan.
I'll see you, man.
So, of course, he's joking. I mean, if this really is, you know, warrants a felony, then obviously he should go to jail for that. But thank you, Jordan Babineau. You said it better than I ever could have. I'd love to give him a wedgie and throw him in the pool and beat his ass. I mean, that's what he needs. You know, Hollywood is so annoying. These people are just so far removed from reality. I reported on a story this week about Sean Penn's annual Help Haiti benefit. He and Charlize Theron are dating now, apparently. They're, like, hot and heavy. I guess, apparently, she convinced him to give up his gun collection. All 65 of them. He gave up his gun collection and gave them to Jeff Koons, the artist, to melt them down and turn them into a sculpture. Oh, what? You're going to decommission 65 perfectly good firearms and make a sculpture out of it. This is what he said at the auction. Being provoked by this aforementioned strong woman, which I'm assuming he means Charlize Theron, and considering how liberating it would be to not only get rid of the guns I have in the continental United States, but also to destroy them. I love how he says in the U.S., this traitor no doubt has a stockpile somewhere in Venezuela, no doubt. And then he goes on to say that Coons will decommission and render inactive, quote, all of my cowardly killing machines. So if it's not already nauseating enough for you, it doesn't end there. We still have the bidding. It turns out that CNN anchors Piers Morgan and Anderson Cooper went head-to-head in a bidding war on that stupid sculpture, and now Anderson Cooper is the proud owner for a nominal $1.4 million. $1.4 million. What the hell is Anderson Cooper doing with an extra $1.4 million lying around? That's disturbing. He's a journalist, for crying out loud. And of course, you know, of course the money goes to charity. So let's not ignore that. The money goes to charity. But I just think this promenade of idiots was worth talking about tonight. And in another story I wrote, I talked about American Hustle director David Russell comparing Jennifer Lawrence's Hunger Games contract to slavery. Okay, he said, I'll tell you what it is about that girl. Talk about 12 years of slavery. That's what the franchise is. David, 12 years of slavery making millions? Last time I checked, slaves weren't paid. But, I mean, he said, I'm probably going to get into trouble for this. He said that later on. But, I mean, you couldn't have thought that comment would go over well, especially when you're going head-to-head to try to win awards against 12 years of slave. I mean, these Hollywood types, I can't even imagine how suffocating it must be to live in this kind of environment. I can't honestly say that working in journalism and punditry is all that different. I mean, the conservative media crowd in Washington is very, very tight-knit. It's a very small world. If you're not in, you're out. And it definitely has the ability to turn people into things that are larger than themselves. I see it happen all the time to people in this field. People my age losing touch with reality because they earned a couple minutes of fame. You know, it's just sad that in Hollywood's case, people are actually looking up to these people and emulating them. I just think that we desperately, 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 we need new idols, is all I'm saying. Anyway, with that, I'm going to wrap it up tonight. I've had a great time. I got to say, it's a little difficult to monologue when you have no one to laugh at any of your jokes or nod along with you. But I really had I had a great time. I hope you guys had fun tonight. Make sure to tune in every Thursday night at BreakingBeltway.com in the iTunes store. We're going to close out with a listener's pick tonight. Jay Vogel, a very dedicated Breaking Beltway listener, he requested that I play Dr. Dog's Heart It Races. And I actually screened the song to make sure that it wasn't terrible, and I actually really dug it. So I'm more than happy to honor that request. And make sure to follow me on Twitter at Breaking Beltway, and feel free to shoot me some requests for next week. Good night, everybody. And we're slow to acknowledge the knots in our laces, all it races. And we go back to where we moved out to the places, all it races. I bought it in a can and stirred it with we'll be right back.